Right, thank you for the staying for this session as well, this discussion as well in the session. My talk will be on other models besides Langmuir that were presented in the years that followed. I'm going to try to cover three general categories: the ion exchange models, the ion absorption models, and then into more recent times, multi-site and multi-competitive models. Now, in the 1920s, in particular, emphasis on Kerr presenting ion exchange models. We see here an SB plus A switching places. We have SA plus B. This is ion exchange. So this follows with equilibrium constant, the K equilibrium constant, with products over reactants and a mass balance equation of total number of sites. And this early presentation in 1928, Kerr was mostly looking to see if the K value that he was calculating with this model at the top was in fact a constant. With this model, we can produce, let me see where the mouse is, how do you control it? Right here, this equation in the center. We have the isotherm, very similar to Langmuir. If B is constant, it becomes identical to the Langmuir equation. The isotherm shown on the bottom left, or you can make A equal to hydrogen concentrations and generate an absorption edge on the lower right. Kerr also worked with monovalent divalent exchange, and here we have two variations that he presented. The first mechanism was SB plus 2A goes to SA2 plus B. And again, the same type of thinking proceeds. We have products over reactants for the equilibrium constant, followed by the total number of sites, so the K value. And again, trying to find out, is this K value a constant? He presented this one for calcium-hydrogen exchange, and in the same year, he presented a different one for calcium-ammonium exchange. This one's slightly different. S2B plus 2A goes to 2SA plus B. And again, products over reactants, and then mass balance equation, and trying to find out, do we have a constant K value? That was the approach. Capon, in 1933, in Russian, it was later on translated into English a few years after. A different mechanism being presented of SB to the one-half plus A, switching places with A and releasing B. Again, products over reactants as the equilibrium constant plus the mass balance equation. And Capon, looking at this as activity units for the surface area. Now, these can be presented as isotherms as well, not just is the K constant. So if we look at Kerr's first equation on the top, it can generate an isotherm shown for SB on the bottom. It's it's a Langmuir type of curve. But if you do, if you're solving for SA, it's an S-shaped curve. It's a very different isotherm on which one you're solving for. Kerr's second equation can also be done into an isotherm, and both of them follow S-shaped curves, Langmuir type curves, except they're not strictly Langmuir. They're, as you can see in the equations, if I can get the mouse to work, this equation is a quadratic, and this equation is a quadratic that needs to be solved. So it does follow a Langmuir type of isotherm, but it's a quadratic in actuality of the math. Or if you look at the Capon equation and modify it into an isotherm, these are both Langmuir-type curves, and they are, in fact, very similar to the Langmuir isotherm if B is kept constant. You can also switch these ion exchange models and do absorption envelopes. Say your monovalent ion would be your hydrogen, And you would find different types of curves that they generate. The first equation proposed by Kerr is very, very sharp rise. And the other equation by Kerr is in the middle. And Gapon's equation of the gradual rise in the absorption edge. These were generated by IXFIT software. Just plug in those equations. But the key thing that I want to emphasize here is that you have different ideas as to how this ion exchange is to be represented. And they, in turn, generate different answers to your prediction. The Kapon equation gained quite a bit of ground in the 1960s, particularly when they were being used for developing the quantity intensity curves. These are manipulation of data and curves to estimate supply of nutrients for plants, particularly used for potassium. I'll glance over this right now and keep going. These equations were not working terribly well. Not too bad, but not too good either. And for some reason, Kerr's second equation was chosen as a dominant choice for the mechanism of reaction. And Vanslow started working with it, trying to make it better, and say, well, the problem is that the equilibrium constant is not being properly defined, or the concentrations are not being properly defined. So he approached it as mixed crystals type of approach. And the equilibrium constant K for Kerr is being modified according to the concentrations of A and B on the surface, and that gives you the modified Vanslow equilibrium constant. Still not quite satisfied, Krishnamurthy and Overbeek in late 1940s. Again, similar ideas, but using more statistics, decided to modify Kerr's second equation using that for the model, and working with a different presentation of the equilibrium constants in the sites. Gaines and Thomas, now into the early 1950s, saying, well, you know, the divalent cation is occupying two different types of sites, so Gaines and Thomas were approaching it with equivalent fractions, and their modified equation is shown at the bottom. So the thinking is not so much, is the equation right or wrong, but how is the equilibrium constant to describe that equation? Is it right or wrong? Or how should it be done? So in summary, I know I've been very brief, but to summarize these early reactions into 1920s, 1930s, 1940s, 1950s, we're talking about one exchange reaction. Which one it is, a little bit of debate there between the two Kerrs or Gapons. But regardless, they are assuming one surface site, and they weren't working quite well. Better, but not terribly well. And so the correction was to search for the correct reaction. This sometimes settling on Kapon's reaction, sometimes settling on Kerr's second reaction, and defining the absorption values, modifying the equilibrium constants was addressed as the correction for these errors. Let me move away now from ion exchange into ion absorption. So the classical one here would be Langmuir's equation, which we have the mechanism of surface plus A adsorbed. So this is not an exchange, but an absorption. Mind you that ion exchange was discovered in 1850, but we were not using it as much, except for the previous discussions made. So in Langmuir here, we have ion absorption. Again, one energy of absorption, the equilibrium constant K with products over reactants is said to be constant. We have one surface reaction, and because we have one surface reaction shown here, where is it? Right there. This is the surface reaction. This is your mechanism. You will therefore assume one absorption site. This idea was not embraced by everyone. Temkin in 1940 approaching it was saying, well, you know, we have one surface, S plus A goes to SA, so we have an absorption process, absorption reaction, but the equilibrium constant needs to be modified, and it needs to be modified according to the number of neighbors that are present. the degree of surface coverage is progressing, and surfaces are not uniform, and the probability of absorption will change as the surface coverage changes or as the surface coverage increases. And the correction factor that Temkin was proposing was an exponential term shown there for adjusting for the impact of the neighboring effects on the surface. Fromkin did a similar approach, shown at the bottom. So Temkin's modification is in the middle, Langmuir equation at the top, Temkin equation in the middle, modifying for its neighboring effects. Fromkin equation, another variation in neighboring effects. This is a picture of Temkin trying to convince Langmuir about the non-uniformity of the surface. Fromkin is also present in the picture. So we have all three here, Langmuir, Temkin, and Fromkin from this previous discussion. I'm not sure if historically, I don't have historical data if Langmuir was convinced or not. Fromkin was, but I'm not sure about Langmuir. We have other individuals that started putting their two cents in the late 1950s and early 60s. One in particular that I picked on is Redlich and Pedersen, basically saying, well, let's grab the Langmuir equation and just fudge it. And what they did, they modified it with a Frohnlich isotherm. And so you notice the A parameter on the lower corner here. Where's my mouse? Here, right there. This A parameter has an alpha. And basically grabbing and taking it to a new exponential factor. So it's a mechanistic model plus an empirical model, made it entirely empirical. Toth had the same idea, also late 1950s, except he put exponentials in everything. The more common way of describing the Toth equation is shown here on the lower right, whereas these two equations are identical, but we normally see it in this notation rather than the other notation. This idea that the surface is changing with the progress of adsorption is not embraced by everybody. Brunauer, in 1967, was adamantly against this idea. This is Brunauer from the BET equation, Brunauer, Emmett, and Teller. So Brunauer, it was just livid about the whole entire concept. In a publication in 1967, pretty much expresses his frustration with it. These individuals in this article, they argued that while statistics require the assumption of no lateral interaction to prevent a potential statistical problem, it substituted in its place a real one. The real problem that they referred to was that this assumption propagates the erroneous belief that adsorbed molecules must not interact with each other when the Langmuir equation is used. Brunauer argued that that's not true with the Langmuir equation. It does not make that assumption. He may or may not have been speaking for everybody, but certainly the Temkin equation is being used quite a bit these days. Summary of these ion adsorption equations, starting from Langmuir to Temkin to Toth to these other ones that I was mentioning, they basically are assuming one adsorption reaction. And because it's one adsorption reaction, you have one surface site. And they are using introducing heterogeneous sites, but the concept of heterogeneity is not different surfaces, but rather it's one surface that is changing energy because of its neighbors. So to fix the problems associated with it, you're redefining the equilibrium constant or inserting empirical exponential terms, some of the later ones did. We want to move now into competitive models and multi-site models. This is one presented by Huang and Smith. This is Huang. He's also famous for introducing the diffuse layer models in 1970 with Stumm. This is the same individual. In this 1981, I'll go to 1970 later, but in 1981, he's presenting here activated carbon adsorption with competition. So the concept of competition is being introduced now. And the competitors are cadmium with protons on the same surface. And you again have products over reactants and a total number of sites resulting in an equilibrium model isotherm shown on the in the middle left. The hypothetical predictions are shown on the lower corner to the left, and the data is shown to the right. So he was getting some pretty good fits with this approach of competition on a single surface. This idea of competition originates actually from enzyme kinetics. Siegel in 1975 gives an excellent review on the topic. In enzyme kinetics, they use quite a bit of different vocabulary. They use competitive models as one of their terms, which is what I just finished discussing. But they also use uncompetitive models and non-competitive models. And when you look at them, they're all competitive. There's just different word choices. Either they're indirectly competitive or directly competitive. Morali and Aylmore also arguing and showing that soils do have a lot of different surfaces. Moving on to now different sites. This is one presented by Halford and Wedderburn and Mattingly in 1974, basically using two different Langmuir equations, one item being adsorbed, item A, on two different surfaces, surface 1 and surface 2, and expressing the results, the resulting data as two additive Langmuir equations, Langmuir on the left, Langmuir on the right. This idea was in the, I think, in early in the 1980s and late 1970s, very much disliked by some individuals, very resistant to this idea of multiple sites because, well, in the case of Postner and Bowden, it was because they argued that it's a variable surface. We have heterogeneity, not because different surfaces, but because it's changing with surface coverage. And say that's the reason, not different surfaces. This concept of multiple sites, I think, held on because we will see modern models are using multiple sites quite regularly. Now I'm going to go to the famous article in 1970 presented by Stum. I worked with Stum and I also worked with Huang. And one was my boss, and the other one was my advisor. And Jenkins, no, I don't know him. But in 1970, presenting a very famous article in diffuse layer model, basically we have a surface that protonates or deprotonates, and how the protonation deprotonation is presented, we have some opinions on that. But again, we have equilibrium constants of products over reactants. In this case, it's an intrinsic equilibrium constant adjusted for the potential at the surface. This approach also uses the same idea as before, a mass balance equation, which is, where's my mouse? Right here. This is a mass balance equation. But we introduced two new equations at the bottom, one to describe the charge of the surface, and another one to describe the relationship between charge and potential. These ideas have been used extensively. As he said, Ben Goldberg, probably a local expert among us on this topic, has been used extensively in shown here with the first two protonation and deprotonation reactions. But then you can also say now we have cations adsorbing to the negative charge and anions adsorbing to the positive charge. So we have multiple sites being presented. Yeah, and also you can have charge distribution. Another modification that I'd like to highlight is Heemstra and Ransdick in 1989, arguing that we can also have many adsorption sites. And in this case, Gerthite showing they argued four different sites, and they were modeling a diffuse layer model with four different sites on Gerthite. So So the assumptions made with these models involving diffuse layer and potential determinants, these are predominantly adsorption reactions. They assume that surfaces are charged, and we assume this because we have electrokinetic data, and electrokinetic data, we believe that the surface remains charged after the electric field is turned off. And we have mass balance equations, which include positive and negative species. I want to finish off, plus I'm running out of time, with just one last set of ideas. Let's assume here ion exchange models using also multi-site locations, multiple competition, but this time it's just ion exchange. That's all, not ion absorption and not protonation or deprotonation. And I'm going to present an example with chloride, sodium, and phthalate, also in competition with hydrogen, on goethite, hence the four sites. So it's multiple sites, multiple competitions. And I have here this model using iXFIT software to generate it, predicting proton adsorption at the same time that it's predicting phthalate adsorption, at the same time that it's predicting chloride adsorption. All of them being predicted at the same time over a range of pH values, and this sodium adsorption being predicted also, although the data for sodium is not there. So there's, as I conclude this, there's an array of models that have developed from the time of Langmuir. In summary of the past and present, I want to thank Irvin Langmuir for his great contributions and for helping us move forward in adsorption modeling. He understood the importance of a mechanistic approach to adsorption modeling. The Langmuir equation, in spite of its many limitations, has given us direction on how to develop mechanistic models. That is, you start with the proposed reactions, and you continue with your equilibrium constants, how you're going to define them, and the total number of sites. I'll skip this last sentence. Questions for present and future. Do you want to do adsorption? Do you want to do ion exchange? Is the reaction energy constant? Does it change with neighboring effects? Is it true? Is it false? Do you have surface charge effects? Is there one surface reaction for one surface site, or do you have many surface reactions for many surface sites? And then these last three, I want to spend a long minute, or a long 30 seconds, I guess. I'm already past a minute. How do we optimize the parameters, which is the long discussion and beautiful discussion that Carl Bolster has been working on for many years. How do we optimize the parameters? And then the other two that I want to mention, how do we validate the model? Meaning, how do we show that it's practical and applicable? And that's a little bit different from how do we verify the model? Do we know that it's truthful? There's a difference from validity and verifiability.